The Claude 3 model family by Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. Haiku is lightning fast and cost effective, Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed, and Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Learn more at anthropic.com/Claude.
The Eurozone economy outpaced both the U.S. and China last year in an unusual reordering.
This isn't the start of some major reshaping of the global economy. It last happened in 1974, and I wouldn't be surprised if it takes another 50 years for it to happen again.
We'll explain what's going on and what it could mean for all three economies going forward. And corporate earnings are rolling in. We look at the record numbers from Exxon and General Motors. Plus, how to spot a green comet that's passing by Earth tonight for the first time in 50,000 years. It's Tuesday, January 31st. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. Let's start off with corporate earnings. General Motors has rebounded from the supply chain issues that saddled the automaker earlier in the pandemic. The company posted $2 billion in net profit for the fourth quarter and notched a record $14.5 billion in pre-tax profit for the year. GM also announced a $650 million investment in a mining company to develop a lithium extraction project in Nevada. Several automakers are ramping up battery capacity to support the transition to electric vehicles. Meanwhile, ExxonMobil, the biggest U.S. oil company, posted its highest-ever annual profit in 2022, $55.7 billion. The results also follow a record profit report from Exxon's closest rival, Chevron, which notched a profit of $35.5 billion last year. Exxon's earnings also outpaced big banks and many tech giants. So far, only Apple and Microsoft have reported higher profits for last year. More tech giants report later this week, including Amazon and Google parent Alphabet. Both will report their latest earnings after the bell on Thursday. U.S. stocks ended the month with big gains as investors grow more confident that interest rates are nearing their peak. The Nasdaq gained more than 10% in January, its best start to the year since 2001. The Dow was up 2.8%, and the S&P 500 rose more than 6% for the month. Investors are also closely watching the slew of corporate earnings out this week. Whole Foods is asking its suppliers to lower their prices on packaged groceries to reflect easing inflation. According to a recording seen by the Wall Street Journal, the grocer told suppliers in a meeting that it wants to bring down its retail prices as suppliers' own costs go down. Whole Foods says it's worked over the past year to absorb rising costs and offset them for customers. Turning to politics, the FBI searched President Biden's former office at a think tank in Washington for classified documents back in November. That's according to people familiar with the matter. Earlier that month, Biden's aides found classified material and surrendered it to the National Archives. And on January 20th, the FBI searched the president's home in Delaware. Our Justice Department reporter Sadie Gurman says the FBI's involvement earlier than previously disclosed could fuel concerns over Biden's handling of sensitive documents.
This search evidently happened shortly after the November 2nd discovery of classified material at the Penn Biden Center. It's unclear why the White House and the Justice Department didn't disclose this step earlier. Attorney General Garland, in appointing a special counsel, pointed to the fact that the FBI had done an assessment starting on November 9th. In which it sought to determine how dangerous and the extent of what classified documents were in locations where they shouldn't be. But he did not mention at that time that the FBI had actually searched that property. That's an investigative step. It is possible that the attorney general believed that that was the kind of investigative detail that might compromise the investigation. But at any rate, the White House and the Justice Department have been criticized for not providing more details, and members of Congress are seizing upon developments like this one to say that the public deserves to know more.
The special counsel, Robert Hur, is expected to start work this week on what will likely be a months-long inquiry. New York Representative George Santos told his Republican colleagues today that he would not serve on any House committees. The first-term congressman faces investigations into false statements he made during his campaign about his education, work history, and ancestry. Democrats and some Republicans have called for him to resign, and a recent poll shows 78% of his constituents want him to quit. Meanwhile, the deadline for all congressional candidates to file their campaign finance disclosure forms is tonight at midnight. They could shed light on Santos's fundraising and spending during the end of 2022. And new data shows workers' big gains in pay and benefits cooling toward the end of 2022. The Labor Department says employers spent 1% more on wages and benefits last quarter, down from a 1.2% increase the prior quarter. Our chief economics correspondent Nick Timmerow says the Federal Reserve has been watching the data closely to determine whether wage inflation has peaked.
This report isn't going to change the likely quarter percentage point rate increase that the Fed is likely to make on Wednesday, but it could influence the debate officials are having at this two-day meeting over when to stop raising interest rates, including possibly after another anticipated interest rate increase at their March meeting. 4% wage growth is probably still too high to be consistent with the Fed's 2% inflation target if you assume that productivity growth is around 1 or 1.5%. But it is a significant improvement if this recent pace of wage growth is sustained, because it could ease fears that wage growth might settle at levels that would just be eye-wateringly high for a central bank that has a 2% inflation target.
Wage growth is a key measure because it can yield clues about how employers are setting prices, as well as about workers' ability to pay for goods and services. And of course, we'll have full coverage of the Federal Reserve's first policy meeting of the year tomorrow. But first, why the Eurozone's economy outpaced both China and the U.S. last year, and what it could mean for the year ahead. That's after the break.
The Claude 3 model family from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point on the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and lowest cost model on the market, perfectly designed for high volume, high speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who trust Anthropic to keep them at the frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude today.
Last year, the Eurozone's economy grew by 3.5%, faster than either China or the U.S. That upends the traditional rankings of the world's major economies. So what's behind the shuffle, and what does it mean for the economic outlook in the Eurozone, the U.S., and China? Joining me now with more details is Wall Street Journal reporter Paul Hannon. Hi, Paul. Thanks for being here.
Great to talk to you again, Anne-Marie.
So, Paul, this is unusual. What can you tell us about what happened here? The expectation was that the Eurozone might be harder hit, especially by the energy crisis because of the war in Ukraine. So what happened?
Well, what happened is that it had a very strong start to 2022, thanks to the headwinds from its reopening after the pandemic. This happened later than it did in the U.S. So in the first 3 months of last year, for example, you know, that was the first start of the year that had been normal since the pandemic hit in 2020. And that carried through the summer. You know, Europe has a pretty important tourism industry that really hadn't been able to function anywhere near normal in the previous sort of 3 years. And it was back to normal. People were traveling all over the place, as you would when you hadn't had an opportunity to do that for quite a while. And that's really what helped the Eurozone economy get through all the other problems, including the Russian invasion of Ukraine.
We should also note here that this Eurozone measure does not include the UK, right?
The UK is not included in the Eurozone, but actually its situation was quite similar. It too was locked down in early 2021 when the US was really fully reopened. So it too got a bit of this bounce. But like the Eurozone, you know, as the year has worn on, it's been taking more and more of a hit from this surge in energy prices. So really, the strength, if you want to call it that, is really more about the early part of the year than the latter part of the year. What's been happening in the last few months is definitely that, you know, higher energy prices are hitting consumers pretty hard. They're not able to spend on other goods and services. And you are seeing a sharp slowdown now across Europe.
How much of a factor more generally was inflation in these results?
Again, towards the end of the year, it was a big factor. It was high at the start of the year in Europe, but it really took off after the invasion, particularly around mid-year when Russia cut off natural gas supplies to Europe and energy prices surged. So in the last few months, this has definitely hit home. And you can see that consumers are spending less in real terms because they just can't afford to buy the things that they were able to buy this time last year.
So what does this mean? We've talked about the Eurozone, but for the US and China, what's the situation there in terms of the economic growth?
Okay, well, I mean, first for China, I mean, it's still in this sort of pandemic cycle where it's beginning to finally reopen in the way that the US did 18 months ago and Europe did more recently. So it's going to probably have a growth pickup this year. The US has been through all of this. It's possibly the most sort of post-pandemic of the three big economies. And a lot of what's happening with the US economy is very much to do with what the Federal Reserve is doing to tackle inflation. And it's an open question right now as to whether that will be a big enough blow to actually push the economy into recession, or whether that can be avoided and inflation can be brought down without that kind of hit to activity.
So it sounds like we're not expecting this to happen again, where the Eurozone economy grows faster than China and the US going forward. Anything else you can tell us about the predictions for the year ahead?
Well, first of all, yes, this isn't the start of some major reshaping of the global economy. It last happened in 1974, and I wouldn't be surprised if it takes another 50 years for it to happen again. This year, and we just had new growth forecasts from the International Monetary Fund, and what they're expecting is that normal service is resumed, in the sense that China is expected to be the fastest growing of the three big economies at something around 5.2%. And then you get the US at 1.4, which is slower than normal, but it's, you know, it's not dreadful. And then you get the Eurozone at 0.7, so half the US rate. And that's pretty much a return to the kind of thing that we're used to seeing over recent decades.
That's Wall Street Journal reporter Paul Hannon. Paul, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks, Anne-Marie.
And finally, a rare green comet is passing through our solar system, and it'll be shining its brightest tonight into Wednesday morning as it passes by Earth. Its distinct green glow is due to our sun's radiation reacting with the comet's diatomic carbon. The last time it passed through our solar system was 50,000 years ago. So why has it taken since the Stone Age for it to zip by Earth again? Our science reporter Eileen Woodward explains.
The reason why it was last year 50,000 years ago is because it takes that long to complete one orbit around the sun. It originated from this thing that astronomers called the Oort cloud, which is this theorized sort of spherical shell of debris that forms the outermost boundary of our solar system. This thing is hundreds of billions, if not trillions of miles away from us. And sometimes pieces of that debris get knocked out of their place by gravity from stars and other things in the universe, and they start to fall in towards the sun and then move past us and then are pulled into sort of these orbits.
The comet will be brightest for people in North America this evening, and weather permitting, it'll be visible to the naked eye. But if you want a really good glimpse of this once-in-a-lifetime phenomenon, Eileen says you'll get the best view with binoculars or a telescope. And that's what's news for this Tuesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.